you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Out of your mind? Out of your mind? Out of your mind?
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin. Hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't think the Bible says the problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Hump day, everybody. It's Crab Diving Wednesday, hurtling at you from Los Angeles, California, Koreatown, US of A. It's a couple minutes after 2 p.m. out here on the Pacific Coast. A little bit after 5 if your ear holes are sucking us in live out east. If it ain't that time, then perhaps you're listening to us as a rerun here, streaming on the Crab Diving Network 24/7 for you. Or you've downloaded us as a podcast at iTunes, at Stitcher, or at crabdiving.com. However you're getting us, whenever, wherever, etc. We appreciate the friggin' hell out of it. My name's Patrick Vile.
My name's Ryan Pfeiffer. What's up, America? I am looking forward to this fucking debate tonight. I really am.
Yeah, America's girding its loins, getting ready for the big battle that's going to happen.
Girded.
It's, God, I don't know. It's kind of like...
What does it even mean to gird?
It's kind of like looking at an AIDS baby or something. Like,
what do you mean?
You feel really sad and grossed out, and you feel sorry for what's going on, and you're just not happy about life. And I have a feeling right. That's what it's going to be like tonight.
By the way, God, if you're listening, please, no matter what these Cubs fans do, no matter how hard they pray, please divert any time away from these AIDS babies for a Cubs win. It's not worth it. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, you introduced the AIDS baby. I ran with it.
No, I was debating.
Oh, you can't decide?
I've gone my whole life saying maybe next year.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm just
Christ.
Kidding, of course.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just none of that exists.
It's an attempted humor.
Oh, yes. And by the way, go to Facebook.com.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go to Facebook.com/crabdiving. I just threw up a story all about Jesus and how he's black.
Please clap.
Right. Excellent. Tweet us during the show if you like, ladies and gentlemen. We keep our ear holes, eye holes, and you know, we listen to our Twitter feed also. At Crab Diving, one word, CrabDiving. You can also leave us a message over on our Facebook page where all kinds of fun stuff happens. And a wonderfully warm and bosomy, embracing, huggy,
that's right,
Care Bear type of page, or not. But it's a fun group over there. You can get to the stuff that we talk about here on the show and shit we don't talk about, and also memes, pictures, and fun stuff there. Thank you for spreading the crabs. Thanks for listening and downloading us. Etc., etc. If you're going to buy any stuff, help us out. If you're going to buy it on the internet, buy it through our Amazon link at crabdiving.com/Amazon.
Oh, yes.
Whatever you buy, it doesn't cost you anything. We get a little commission, a little extra off the top, a little
right.
skim, and it helps us out here at Screaming Liberal Media.
Screaming. We are. God damn it. It's all the news stories are fucking crazy today.
Well, they have been. It's it's Trump's America, man.
Right.
It's he pulled the butt plug out of the giant impacted sphincter of American hatred and white nationalism and angry rural type folk.
You know, I'm asking this question on behalf of a townie type I'm friends with on Facebook.
Tony.
Yeah, he's from Boston. He's one of these wicked guys. Probably can't resist using the F word every two fucking seconds.
Fucking great.
No, not that F word.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Please explain to me how Obama is responsible for all this shit with Russia. It's his fault. His foreign policy drove us to this fucking point.
He's black.
Right? Oh, that's
he's black.
Right. Yes. Okay.
So there's no way, you know, Putin's going to respect him.
Yeah. What do you want Obama to do, you fucking idiot? Do you want him to do?
And I'm sure Putin respects the fuck out of Trump.
Oh, right.
He thinks Trump is like a $5 viaduct whore.
Yeah.
Where you're he's manipulating him, and Trump doesn't even see it. Trump is like, Trump said, we played that clip yesterday. Go to crabdiving.com. We played the clip yesterday of the Trumpetstein monster on Michael Savage show. Really hard hitting journalism.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
And come on our show, Don. And the
that
doors,
would be great.
That would be fucking great. But he said that if he wins, that he's going to meet with Putin before the inauguration. So while Obama is still president, Orange Fuckwaddle Face
Hello.
Will be going in an official capacity to go meet with his reach around bro
God.
As they sit mutually shirtless on the back of a bear.
Rub my nipples. Can you imagine? You're going to have... I mean, he's not... First of all, Trump will not win. The GOP put up a loser, as Alex Trebek would say, a fucking loser.
Yes.
For a candidate. But my God, imagine if he did win. Not only do you get 4 years of Trump, you get this little bonus time.
Oh, a couple extra. Yeah, right.
He gets to tinker.
Right.
Great.
Tinker.
He's not going to do anything extra. He's so
lazy. He's not
going
to do anything when he's president. I mean, he's not going to be president, but he's not going to do anything.
We know. We heard from somebody. What does he like to do? He likes to sit on the couch and eat candy and watch
TV. And watch the shows.
I get it. I
sure.
I too like that same thing, but I am not running for president. And Barack Hussein Obama, do you think he likes to do that? Fuck no. He's a nerd. He reads.
Oh, totally.
He
yeah.
studies politics. He does all the normal shit a fucking president would do.
He knows stuff.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I understand that the president of the United States may know a few facts about what's going on in the world.
Not
just everything is...
It's going down the tubers.
Not just that.
Right. Well, listen, you lib. Fuck your intellectualism. What about common sense?
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
There's your common sense.
I'm seeing that argument on my Facebook feed, but what about common sense? What does that mean?
Who's saying that?
In lieu of intellectualism. I actually saw that.
It's the same thing.
I guess.
It's the same thing.
But they mean common sense.
Because if you're smart
yeah.
and you make common sense decisions, you're using the gray matter between your brain, your ears.
Do you think when people draw a difference between common sense and intellectualism, there's any kind of, is there weird like?
I want to be ignorant and it's going to be okay. I want to be stupid and it's okay.
I pick up hints of like anti-Semitism sometimes too. With that little comparison. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's...
Bitch ass, redneck, white bread, chicken shit, motherfucker. Fuck you, your mama, and everything connected to you, you racist piece of shit. Fuck you.
Imagine getting that as a voicemail.
Snoop Dogg. Talking about the former owner of the Clippers, right? At that time?
Pick a white guy. Apply it to him.
We could see...
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
Is that John Wayne?
Yeah, another alleged racist asshole.
Sure, died of weird cancer because he had to get up close and look at a nuclear test.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what him and who's the chick that went with him? They put on the weird goggles. They went to some nuclear test.
Joan Rivers.
Yes, and they wanted to watch it up close, and then he dies of weird cancer.
Did she die of weird cancer?
I believe so. I don't know who the fuck was with him, Carrie Fisher.
I don't know. She would have been a little young. Trumpian kind of standards there.
Yes.
Get him before the hair does.
Gross.
We can see what's going on in the headlines. Getting ready for the big debate tonight.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower... Los Angeles, California. Dateline, October 19th, 2016.
The year of our Lord.
These are your headlines. I don't know why I feel compelled. I just sometimes like to play a random clip after the song.
Right.
After the news bullshit. Over at, well, because I'm waiting for the fucking Commie Pinko Liberal Huffington Post to open, and it has.
God damn it.
Picture of smiling Don standing in front of a, of course, American flag backdrop.
Is he ejaculating all over it?
I think there's like, they hired four brown people to carry it around behind him at all times.
Hired? So they bought him.
At every angle. Well, yeah, they, Pat Robertson probably gave him a number of some couple of guys that used to work in his mines.
Oh, yeah.
They're used to having their anal cavities checked.
Oh, God, an x-rayed. Isn't that what happens? All these workers that work at these diamond mines?
Yeah, they x-ray the fuck out of them, and they talk about dying of cancer. You got to take an x-ray every day that you leave.
Is there a worse life? I mean, really, I'm not kidding around.
That's bad, but
that's, I mean, that's got to be down there. You're toiling in one of these diamond mines?
I don't think... owning a 7-Eleven Aleppo right now is one of the better places.
Oh, yeah.
One of the more fun jobs to have. So the headline over at the HuffPost says American Autocrat. This is written by Paul Blumenthal over at the Huffington Post.
Oh, really?
And it says Trump's worst positions aren't un-American, they're flashbacks to our ugly history. Threats to jail opponents, claims of rigged elections, rigged erections too. We're talking about Trump, so
that's the pharmaceutical industry.
I'm sure there's a gold gilded bowl of Viagra right next to that, or he's got a rattler he carries around with him.
Oh, how sad for everybody he has to sleep with.
These aren't only Tic Tacs. I got the blue ones too. For months, it says, Donald has whipped his crowds into a frenzy. Crowd breaking, a chance to lock her up, blah, blah, blah. It says he didn't go there himself until the second presidential debate when he pledged to direct his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate her. And you'd be in jail, he said.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I guess this piece here talks about different, comparing Trump to stuff in the past. They compare him to some of these Latin American banana republics. Reminiscent of a Latin American strongman, writes McClatchy.
Yes.
Esquire's Charlie Pierce, who's awesome. He's great to read. Calls Trump El Caudillo del Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Others compare him to African dictators.
Really? That's interesting. I would compare Trump more to like Genghis Khan.
Idi Amin.
Right.
Mugabe.
I would compare him to John Wayne's Genghis Khan. The makeup is very similar.
Well, now this one, we've made this comparison. Trump has also been compared fairly to former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. Who was also a wealthy sex maniac with right-wing anti-immigrant tendencies. He is. He's our Berlusconi.
That's perfect.
Bunga bunga parties.
Yeah.
Google that, mofos.
Right. Does Trump have like a secret underground cave where... submarine. Didn't Berlusconi have like a little bat cave that you have to get to with a submarine?
He had a fuck cave. He had a cave.
Cave. Rally at the fuck cave. That's his fallback position.
In 1918, Ryan, Eugene Debs, leader of the Socialist Party, five-time presidential contender. See, that was back before the Red Scare,
right?
When we actually had real communist and socialist parties here, and they weren't people weren't chasing them around to nail them up on crosses or burn them or whatever.
Why did we get so loony?
Because people like Trump in the 50s, McCarthy and them used ginned up the Red Scare and the Cold War to gain power here in the United States. And we end up with the anti-American panel or whatever the fuck they called it. Un-American Affairs or something like the Anti-American Affairs.
It's harmful. It's bringing harmful to the fucking country.
Fucking actors and screenwriters.
Yes.
For having ties to the Communist Party. Remember the whole blackballing and thing like that?
Absolutely.
That would go on. You think we'd learn?
No.
There's a large swath of the country that would be more than happy to bring the Un-American Affairs panel back.
Do you think...
And slate us in for being called in front of them.
Right. Do you think Trump would make Michael Moore pay for that movie?
Well, right.
He released? Yeah. I'm sure.
He wouldn't be able to release it. He'd sue. You should be able to sue before it comes out and does damage already.
Yeah. When you're voting for somebody for office... I like to sit here and think, how are they going to abuse their power? Because you know they're going to, probably, right? There's probably going to be something. How would Trump abuse his power?
Terrifying.
Based on what we know of him.
Right.
In not good
ways. Not good ways.
I mean, it'd be terrifying.
Not good ways. There's a list, I'm sure. It's not the first thing he's going to do. He's not going to... He can't. He can't just turn Obamacare off. He can't rip up the Iran deal. He can't do any of the things he says he's going to do day one. Maybe some of the... executive orders he can reverse.
I mean, he's overt about some of the ways he's going to abuse his powers. I mean, some of the things he says he wants to do is not legal anyway, right? Like just deporting how many people first day in office?
11 million.
A shit
plus.
Ton?
Yeah.
Okay. That
and their kids, too, whether they're American citizens or not.
Jeez.
Because some people say that they don't have to be a natural born citizen. Yeah. Doesn't really mean that.
God, how does that sit with the evangelicals? We're talking about kids.
They're fine because
they don't give a fuck.
Because it's exposed them to be the hypocrites that they are.
They ain't what?
1918, Eugene Debs, leader of the Socialist Party, five-time contender, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for giving a speech opposing the U.S. entry into World War I. He's a traitor! 10 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
Even though he'd gotten more than 900,000 votes, or 6% in 1912, he was charged under the Espionage Act,
right,
which had then been amended to ban any disloyal, profane, scurrilous, or abusive language about the form of government in the United States.
Holy shit.
This is 100 years ago we had this kind of Hitlerian, Mao-tse, tonguey bullshit.
Right.
Can't talk against the state.
God, that's terrifying,
and,
man.
Again, large swaths of the country would love to see Colin Kaepernick in irons.
That's insane.
For not standing up for that flag. I'd pass that law. Everybody stand up.
What if you, I don't know, white people, this is going to be hard for you, but I'm going to ask you to step outside yourselves and imagine that you're black and that your relatives were brought here from another continent, sold to other white people, and then built the country on which you walk around upon. Would you want to say the Pledge of Allegiance? Would you want to sing the national anthem? Would you feel good about it? I get it. Don't you get it?
Well, and fuck your feelings.
Yes.
We have the right to not stand up for that stupid song or for that flag. We don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance ever, anywhere. You can't. You can't make someone, so fuck your feelings.
Right. I mean, imagine if you're gay. You just now got afforded rights that you didn't have forever, but yet you still live in the same country. You were separate but equal, and you're supposed to sing, and you're supposed to stand up and praise the country. It's very strange.
And parts of the country would love to take rights away from you.
Absolutely. They hate you.
If not, put you in camps.
Right.
Or stone you to death.
Welcome to North Carolina, motherfucker.
Debs ran for president while still in prison in 1920 and got 3% of the vote.
In prison?
From prison.
Oh, shit.
President Warren G. Harding finally pardoned him in 1921. A century earlier, President John Adams set out, you know, these are they worship the ancient sacks of these men as the all infallible. All the founding fathers were infallible.
Cup the sacred bowls.
Well, just think of the assholes we have now.
Oh, yeah.
And minus 200 and some years. And you've got some enlightened assholes, but there's a lot of assholes trying
to
keep power and anti-federalist versus federalist. That shit's been going on since day one. And John Adams, the Federalist controlled Congress at the time in 1798.
Damn.
Passed the Alien and Sedition Act of 1798, an attempt to curb the growing political power of Jefferson and the First Republican Party. Those mincing libs over at the First Republican Party. Jefferson and his allies praised the French Revolution, while Adams and the Federalists saw it as dangerous barbarism.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder what they knew about the French Revolution. I wonder what kind of news they got.
Well, it took a couple weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks behind whenever it happened. Wasn't around that time, wasn't Ben Franklin over there?
Yeah.
For a while. He was our ambassador to France for a while, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
He might have been over there shortly before the river.
I thought he was over there just to bang bitches.
Well, that was a bonus, apparently, if the stories are true.
Right.
The Federalists drummed up support for the Alien and Sedition Act, which placed strict controls on immigration.
Okay. We've done this before.
And allowed the government to jail people for speech deemed anti-government. So if you think that this has been, you know, freedom of speech from the beginning, it ain't been.
But those are our founding fathers that you're speaking of.
Some of the founding fathers, right.
This must be bullshit. Because I'm told differently about them.
They then used these acts to go after their political opposition. A Republican from Vermont, Matthew Lyon, was jailed for denouncing the government. A newspaper publisher of Pennsylvania, Benjamin Franklin Bosch, was imprisoned. Died of yellow fever before he could be tried.
Ooh, what's yellow fever? Is that like you get bit by something, right?
It's when you
autoimmune,
like having sex with Asian people.
Yeah,
isn't that at the
absolutely
Urban
yes.
Dictionary version? Sure. Before he could be tried for sedition, which is a horrible term, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Anthony Haswell, a Vermont printer, sentenced to 2 months behind bars for reprinting the newspaper.
That's it.
That the guy went to jail for.
Oh my god. Ridiculous.
A Scottish writer living in Virginia was sentenced to 9 months for insulting the president. What does this sound like? We hear about like Indonesia or some of these regressive, I mean,
right.
Places that are really religious-y and shit. You can't insult the king. You can go to jail if you post "the king sucks" online. You'll go to jail.
It's shocking
for shit like that.
That someone could understand what the Scottish guy said.
Right.
I can't understand them.
So the mass deportation, Trump has said he wants to get rid of 11 million. He points out what many of us believe was one of the darker periods of our history. President Dwight Eisenhower's 1954 Operation Wetback.
Oh, God.
Which rounded up and deported Mexican laborers. Eisenhower, Trump says, was a good president because he moved 1.5 million illegal immigrants out of this country.
Good God.
Meanwhile, it's been proven that that program was just massive human rights and civil rights abuses.
I mean, it was called Operation Wetback.
Yeah, they went and policed
so fucking awful.
Latino neighborhoods. Deported U.S. citizens.
Yeah, did they
like
get
Trump
due
wants
process?
To do? No, snatched them up and killed some of them. Some of them got killed.
God. And Trump likes this.
Well, that's what he wants to do. In 2012, the California government here, us mincing libs,
yes,
issued a formal apology for the forced expulsion of U.S. citizens of Mexican descent during the Depression, where the government forcibly removed hundreds of thousands of Mexicans and Mexican Americans out of the country, saying they were taking the little jobs that were left after the capitalist bank fucks wrecked the economy in the stock market crash in 1929. Because is it the farmers in the fields that caused the stock market crash and the depression? I don't think so.
It's those fucking tomatoes they were growing.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Not a lot of sympathy for the ones that
jumped
out the window if they lost their own riches.
Yeah. We're deporting all of you for no reason.
Trump declares he's the law and order candidate. Which is creepy.
Very creepy.
Jim Crow South kind of.
Yeah.
We're going to keep everybody out of the law. Yeah, I'm going to. George Wallace was big on that one. And they. He also. Trump wants to do stop and frisk, which is. Doesn't work. And right. when New York stopped it, guess what happened? Their crime rates actually went down.
God. Amazing. You know why, listen, and this is crazy. Do you know why Trump started, I want to be the law and order candidate? I know this is true. The guy sits around all day. Honestly, he watches television. He watches that fucking Law and Order on cable. No, this is not crazy. It reruns a million times a day. He's watched every fucking episode, I imagine. He sees that. He's like, Law and Order candidate. That's a great idea. I'll say on
that. Is that a good show? It's been on for 30 years. I've never seen one episode of it.
It's all good. There's different different casts, different little episodes, different, you know, series. They're great. I love them. Good acting.
Right.
Yeah. Sam Waterston's great.
Aren't
he's all
different
angry and
versions
shit.
Of it?
Oh, like yes. Yeah, Special
SVU
Victims Unit.
And
that's fucking awesome. The dude from Oz is in there. He beats up
Vegas?
A lot of people.
Like, is there Law and Order Vegas?
I don't know. I never saw that.
I guess we have
Law
Cops.
Vegas.
Cops Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is hard to watch now. I wonder if Cops ratings has been going down.
Oh, who
the
fuck could watch those?
It's kind of hard to root for the cops nowadays.
Racist monsters. That's who likes cops.
So, yeah, go read this over at the HuffPo. It goes on to mention just historic references to shit that Trump is bringing up again. Law and order, the torture, waterboarding kind of shit, banning Muslims. You know, we had the Japanese internment camps and stuff like that. Rigged elections, wink, wink, wink. That's been used before.
God, he's kind of doing and saying everything that you would expect of an evil, white, rich, one percenter type.
Marvel supervillain.
Yeah. He's everything. He's the guy on the Monopoly box.
Yeah. He's
it's a cartoon.
Who's the supervillain in Daredevil? Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, plays him.
What's the character's
big white
name?
Guy, dude.
Yeah, I forget the name of the.
Yeah.
Of
he
the
is super that villain. Guy. He's Lex
he's like
Luthor.
A gazillionaire, yeah.
Right. Fuck him.
Or Lex Luthor. So that's the headline over at the HuffPo. Check that one out over there. And by the way, the HuffPo, you know, they have, just like at Real Clear Politics and at 538 and a lot of these other places, they have their prediction on the election, you know, by percentages and what they think it might end up being. And the HuffPo,
yes,
last I saw, I had like 93%. 93% for Trump. Even 538 was up in the high 80s.
Oh, yes.
It's not looking real, real good.
No.
94.8. Damn. Now at the HuffPo. 94.8% chance of Hillary winning the presidential election. 5% for Trump. And the HuffPo... It's interesting. The HuffPo they seem less optimistic about the Senate than 538, because 538 has, I think I saw this morning, I could probably open it, but it was like in the 60% chance of the Democrats taking the Senate.
No shit.
But the HuffPo here has 60% for the GOP holding the Senate, 25% for a 50-50 split. And only 16% chance of the Democrats completely taking over. So
damn,
there's differences in these different.
But nevertheless, Trump is going to lose.
Barring. I mean, there's very little he can do tonight. We know what's going to happen. In fact, the new headline refreshed at the HuffPo. It says all bets are off. The final debate could be the ugliest yet. We've already heard that he's bringing inexplicably Obama's half brother who hates him. I don't. Why? Why? How is that going to rattle Hillary? And then he's going to bring
Obama's
half brother. Right. He's going to bring the mother of one of the people that was killed at Benghazi. And she's the poor woman who deluded, but right. She spoke at the RNC and said she holds Hillary Clinton personally responsible. So she's a direct victim of this right-wing bubble.
Did you see the other thing, too, that Trump is actually going to wear that dress?
What dress?
The dress that got spooged on.
Oh,
the Matt Drudge dress.
I think they need to let it out.
They might
need
to. A
lot.
Hillary should wear the fucking dress. Who gives a shit? Wouldn't that be great? As like a big fuck you to Donald.
Isn't that dress in like the Smithsonian or something? I wonder where that dress is.
I don't know.
So, yeah, now they're saying all bets are off. This might be the ugliest, ugliest yet. Donald Trump is desperately trying to regain ground, they're saying.
Don't you think it would improve his brand if he just did a little something, a little prep, something to show that he's not a fucking buffoon and can hold his own a little bit in the debate, in this last debate?
That's not going to happen.
God. So
she's,
weird.
She's going to set him off and he's going to lose his mind. He can't focus. Which is a major story I've got here. I don't know if you saw it yet. But before we get to that one, Trump, they're saying also is not going to get the most warm and fuzzy reaction and welcoming when he gets there because the workers from these hotels, the worker from his hotel who want to unionize, he's been fighting it the whole way. And they're going to be picketing before and after their shifts on Tuesday. Union members from the food workers union are supporting, and independent taco trucks are amassing outside of his hotel to create a wall of taco trucks.
That's so fucking
in protest.
Awesome. Here's your wall, stupid.
Of his anti-union, anti-worker. This is what I don't get.
He's everything horrible.
Yeah, angry white people of Ohio, you're being fleeced. And Pennsylvania, you're being fleeced. He's anti-you. His entire career has been fucking people like you and throwing the empty husks on the side of the road when he's done with you. I ain't paying you because I didn't like the service. Or you're only taking 60%. Try to sue me. You can't afford it.
And when unions do get what they want, and when they get their workers paid more, that sort of trickles down. That this is the one time I think it trickles down into to non-union workers, right? Everybody's pay goes up, right?
Depending minimum wage or just
for everything. I mean,
look at Seattle. Every doom and gloom that the vulture capitalists predicted would happen in Seattle, the opposite is true. They're like, all the restaurants are going to close. All the businesses are going to close. Nobody's going to be able to afford. None of that is happening.
It's not a ghost town.
None of that is happening. In fact, people are starting to, thrive because suddenly they're getting enough money to go out and buy shit.
Right.
They don't have to worry about having zero expendable or, extra income.
I mean, if you're getting $20 an hour, and all of a sudden you have a little extra money to go spend, you're not dumping it in the stock market.
Well, right.
You're going to a restaurant and you're buying a fucking hamburger.
And that's why even assistants, studies have shown that a dollar of welfare money brings back $1.60 to the economy. Because what do people do with that dollar? They spend it. When you give cunt-faced McGillicuddy billionaire
they don't care.
A dollar break, he wipes his dog's ass with it and throws it out. And that dollar goes nowhere or goes into an electronic account in the Cayman somewhere and does nothing for the economy. They're parasites. These people are parasites. How many times do we have to do this? The Gilded Age, the fucking Depression. How many times do we have to do this?
One more time. We're good. Guys,
we're
just
going
to do it one more time, okay? I swear to fucking God.
So stupid.
Vote for Trump.
We're also talking about, he's going to get a bad, welcome from them.
Yeah. Fuck you.
But also there's resistance to Hillary. You put the story up on our Facebook page about the, pre-Hillary sale at a local dealer.
This gun shit.
Praised on Fox. Steve Ducey did the story. There's a link out there. You can hear it where they were interviewing the guy that did this pre-Hillary sale. Don't wait. Prices will skyrocket after crooked Hillary gets in. $699.99 Smith & Wesson M&P Sport 2.
Oh, shit. God.
What is this?
What? The story?
Oh, 223. Shoots 223 Remington and 5.56 millimeter rounds. Folding rear sight, collapsible stock, Magpul 30-round magazine, because, you know, the deer run like hell.
Say, what do you do with that?
Right.
What do you do with that?
Only one per customer, please. Limited right. to stock on hand.
Oh, geez. Only one.
Offer only valid for lawful firearms purchasers. Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm glad they put that disclaimer in there.
Jesus Christ.
But, yeah, on Fox, they were like, oh, what a great idea. Oh, it's great capitalism. Taking advantage of the current
situation.
Putting
more guns into the country. You're dumping more guns into the fucking country.
That can only help, right?
Oh, yes. More guns make us more shot.
Over at the Drudge Report.
Yes.
There is a photograph of Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, this had to be 40 years ago. He looks like he's about 30. And it says, tonight is forever. It's some weird. What is going on? Tonight is forever. It leads to a.
How creepy.
Las Vegas Review Journal story. It says the final face-to-face bout in the fight for the presidency. 10 rounds, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Fly from Vegas in this corner. Schindler.
Schindler.
versus Killary. The final round for Hillary versus Donald will unfold in Vegas, city known for high stakes wagers, it says. But meanwhile, the bookmakers.
Yes.
We heard a story, I think it was from Maddow. She was saying that some of the bookmakers are already getting ready to pay out on Hillary.
No shit.
Like they're starting to pay out now.
God damn it.
On Hillary. The bookmakers.
Isn't this election bad for them? Because don't they make more money when it's a closer race, I would think.
Well, hopefully you had a lot of idiots voting Trump earlier. Right now, you want Trump out there saying,
oh, yeah,
they're lying, we're going to win.
I wonder how the spreads work.
We should have set up a online betting kind of thing. I don't know where we'd have to go out of country.
Oh, yeah.
Something. Floating 10 miles out.
Right.
So there you go. That's the headline over a weird headline over at the Huff or at the Drudge Report.
That is like so strange.
Some glamour shot of Don from the 80s. And
why would a GOP rag like the Drudge want to set this debate up as something historic and monumental? Because it's going to be a bloodbath. He will lose.
They want him to win. And they're saying the same shit that he's saying. The fear mongering that, well, if this is it, folks. This is the last shot we got. This is the last shot. If you don't elect me, it's over.
Right.
It's gone. America's gone.
And the thing is, it doesn't matter what we think. He's going to win. He'll win. He will say he won the debate, and the fucking shitty websites
Maybe.
And all the crap media that supports him that sucks his dick are going to say he won. And
like he did
the Trump
last time.
Will say he won.
Like he did last time. And a lot of the lamestream media went along with it because he didn't. I don't know, reach into his pants and throw shit at her, literally.
Such a low bar. Low fucking bar for this guy.
Oh, he did so much better in the second debate. Oh, well, great.
What did he say?
He didn't rape anybody on stage, so win for Don.
How truthful did Politico say Donald Trump was at the last debate? Not very, right? It was low.
No, not at all.
He's full of fucking shit.
Right.
How can you declare somebody the winner of a debate? But they didn't say any facts. They said nothing real.
But he called her a liar and said emails.
Oh, yes.
And Benghazi. And,
there you go.
And your husband cheated on you.
Right. Oh, by
and
the way.
And was mean to women.
And here's Barack Hussein Obama's half-brother, racists.
What
the fuck?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
He's upsetting the racists. That's what he's doing. It's great. More bullshit.
And birthery.
Yeah. They love it.
Crazy shit. Obama family fights over Trump.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well, this is the half-brother. This is, I guess. One of President Barack Obama's half-brothers will be attending the final debate as Donald Trump's guest.
Okay.
But one of his other half-siblings isn't abiding.
Oh.
I love my brothers, but no one member represents the Obamas. Mark Obama. Ndesanjo.
Is that the name of his half brother?
Mark Obama Ndesanjo. 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 Oh, he said in an email, others in my family and I do not support my brother Malik in his position on Donald Trump. Malik is Kenyan born.
Okay.
Really, for sure.
I
and
told
actually
you. Right.
Announced that he was supporting Trump in July. The Trump campaign announced that he will be joining tonight in the audience. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Inexplicably. Ndesanjo, businessman who lives in the southern Chinese city of Shenzhen, is an American. All three half-brothers have different mothers, according to the Associated Press.
Okay.
So, I don't get it.
Does Barack Obama, does he talk to this guy? Are they friends?
I don't think they're close. It doesn't sound like.
Why does this matter? Haven't we established, do you believe Barack Obama was born American? Do you think Barack Obama is an American person? Do you?
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
If you don't agree, tweet us at Crab Diving. And tell us why you don't think he's American. What does it matter if his half-brother from Kenya's at this debate? It's just so fucking weird.
Clinton will have Meg Whitman.
Oh, God. And she's a CEO of eBay, or the ex-CEO of not eBay.
Who's a longtime Republican, but has endorsed Hillary Clinton. And Mark Cuban is going to be sitting there with Hillary.
Oh, shit.
Nodding to their business records as a rebuke to Trump's own assertions about his business success. So she's given a little twist herself, but nothing as kind of untoward as the shit that he's going to.
The Benghazi thing.
The Benghazi thing is heinous.
That's disgusting what he's doing.
Pat Smith, whose son Sean was killed in Benghazi, is going to be there. Donald Trump's friend and singer Wayne Newton will be joining the entourage.
Again, wow. You know what's surprising about that? He's alive. I swear to God. He's alive?
In the Clinton box.
Oh, yes.
Astrid Silva, an undocumented student and Clinton supporter.
Okay.
From Nevada. Ophelia Diaz Cardenas is a housekeeper from Trump's hotel in Vegas who co-wrote a critical open letter to the candidate after his comments about a former Miss Universe. I'm sure it's great working. How did she not get fired?
I don't know.
And Carla Ortiz, 11-year-old who spoke at the DNC about her fear that her undocumented parents are going to be deported.
Right.
So a little girl that Trump is going to look at and say, we're kicking your parents out.
And a little, like, you got to say, Hillary's guests at the debate are a little bit more germane to the election, don't you think?
Right.
I mean, what does a half-brother of Obama
nothing
have to do
whatsoever.
With fucking anything?
Nothing whatsoever. I don't get it.
And Benghazi, I mean, is there more to explore there? I mean, were there committees, investigations?
Maybe Bill Clinton molested Obama's brother.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I never thought of that. God, I hope he burnt the dress.
The story I was talking about earlier that's big, giant news.
Yay.
Is that the love affair between Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And former Fox poobah and groper in chief over at Fox Quote News unquote Roger Ailes. It's over. No longer buds.
What happened? They were so happy together.
There's been a fallout.
Come on.
Vanity Fair is reporting that they and then the, I guess, New York Magazine is also confirming. They've also heard the same thing, that longtime friends Trump and Ailes no longer on good terms. Each side, however, is saying something a little different about why.
Okay.
The Trump side is saying that that Ailes was useless during debate prep.
They did Trump, debate prep?
Trump's, yeah, they, after the last, after the first debate, they actually did a little
good prep. God.
Even for the second debate, Ailes kept going off on tangents, talking about his old war stories when he was supposed to be prepping Trump. And allegedly, I guess Trump didn't like that. Okay. That's got to be a lie.
Right.
Because the side from Ailes, Ailes' side says that Ailes learned Trump couldn't focus and that advising him is a complete waste of time. That the debate prep sessions they were trying to have weren't going anywhere because Donald can't focus.
Roger Ailes couldn't help him.
Correct.
Oh, shit.
That's what Ailes is saying.
Right. Because he doesn't want to be associated with this loon. Roger Ailes is embarrassed of Donald Trump. Is that what I'm seeing?
Well, I guess.
God, man.
Part of the speculation was that Ailes might be involved in Trump TV, but he's got a pretty strict non-compete and for probably a whole long time. And I, now that with Bannon there, I mean, Bannon, Ailes has... journalistic scruples compared to Bannon over at Breitbart.
So who helped Trump prepare for this debate? Who worked with him? Do we know? Bannon?
It was, well, the I don't know. The last one was Bannon and Rudy.
Okay.
yeah, what a
Rudy
group,
Giuliani.
Huh? Yeah. I think you should just call her a cunt.
Right, yeah.
Your base will love that. You know, I was mayor during 9/11. Did you know that?
Your base.
When I was mayor at 9/11. Yeah. Did I mention I was mayor at 9/11? Uh-huh. So there you go. The a little divorce. No more butt buddies.
Sad.
Roger and Don.
What are they going to do now? Now that they don't have each other?
I think they'll be okay.
Sad.
Well, Ailes will be great. Didn't he get $40 million?
Oh, my God.
For getting fired and for grabbing hoo-has over at Fox News.
Roger, how are you even in the news? Why do you even give a shit? I would be living in my little insulated island staring at dolphins. What's up?
BuzzFeed's, see, this just popped up over
right,
at...
Right.
In a bizarre admission on Twitter, BuzzFeed CEO Jonah Peretti is claiming he once spoke with Ivanka Trump, Ivanka, the daughter, and that she casually told him she was interested in seeing a mulatto cock.
Hold on a second. What the fuck? Wait a second. What? Who's saying a mulatto cock?
His tweet is linked to a BuzzFeed article where the daughter of the GOP nominee claims she found her father's comments about women jarring.
Oh, okay.
According to the BuzzFeed CEO, surprised Ivanka would be shocked by lewd language. I met her once and she casually said, I've never seen a mulatto cock, but I'd like to.
When did she say this? When did she say this? About the mulatto cock?
He's yet to respond to multiple comments asking for additional information.
Right.
The BuzzFeed News followed with this tweet. It's a screen cap of a quote.
mulatto cock.
Of course it was memorable just because of the use of the lewd language and racist language. It was also memorable being in the environment of being in New York. Sometimes liberal and progressive people make comments meant as jokes and not necessarily earnest. I didn't know how to take it.
Right.
Oh, so he didn't know if she was a liberal being ironically funny.
Yes.
Or
maybe she really wants to see a mulatto cock.
Mulatto.
Who knows? When did she?
Octoroon.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me an octoroon.
I'm schlong. So sorry to ask again, but when did she say she needs to see a mulatto
cock?
He
just was talking to her at one point. So
years ago?
I would assume, yeah.
I
met her once, is all it says in the tweet.
He didn't say when. Hmm. Well, I want to know. I want to know when she didn't see a mulatto cock, and I want to know if she's seen one
since. Has she seen one now?
That's the interesting thing, I guess. Is it? God.
Google's your friend, Ivanka.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, God, how hard would it be for Ivanka to define any kind of type of cock she wants to see? She's an attractive, rich, white woman. World's your fucking oyster.
Yeah, I don't know how that comes up in casual conversation either.
Yeah. I imagine a 1%er says, hey, I want something. I imagine it doesn't take that long to obtain it. I don't care if it's a mulatto cock.
Certainly it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Go to Walmart. Or I don't even know. I don't know where you find that.
Good God.
Oh, my God. Mulatto cock. That's got to be some assholes already picked that up for their Twitter handle, by the way. I know it.
Oh, I'm sure it was out there before.
Right.
She also, it seems, in a new interview, Ivanka, we're talking about, was at the Fortune's Most Powerful Women Summit. Blah.
Okay.
Not because of the women part, but just, you know, it's rich assholes, whether they have vaginas or not. She was asked about her role as, quote, one of the most visible members of the inner circle of a Republican nominee who just in the last 2 weeks has body shamed a Miss Universe contestant and appeared in that Access Hollywood tape. Right. Suggesting that other women that accused him were too unattractive to him for him to have assaulted.
Oh, yeah. I imagine Trump could find a mulatto cock for Ivanka if push came to shove. You know, I bet he could track one down.
In his building. I don't know if this is this might be the full interview. I don't know if we need to hear Ivanka actually talking, but she said that she said my brand was launched far before the presidential cycle commenced, and I've always tried to maintain complete separation between that and the campaign.
Sorry, that's not happening.
My brand, she says.
Ivanka, your brand is your daddy's brand, is Trump's brand. You're all the same brand to me, right? Don't you think that's how most people see the Trumps?
So what does that sound like? What did I say the other day about, I think she's the one of the kids that will be the most pissed off about the effect of the Trump name.
Well,
it was never pristine before, but now it's a hood wearing, N-word slinging,
right? Sexist
fest, yeah.
Misogynistic, gross, the whole bit.
And failed business dealings. Nobody seriously believes he's a good businessman except the Trumpansies.
Right.
Nobody. Everybody knows he has lied and cheated his way to mediocrity in those circles, because had he put daddy's $1 million in an index fund in 1960, whatever, when he got it, his loan. His little tiny loan that his dad gave him. I started from nothing. Just $1 million.
Something to get you on your feet.
And that's a lie, too, because we found out later that daddy underwrote.
Right.
Underwrited.
I have no fucking idea.
Paid for
all
of his shit in the early times and co-signed on deals that Don Jr. would have never gotten if daddy Warbucks had not signed, co-signed with it. So it's a lie that he's Mr. Self-Made.
And on top of that, though, what didn't some of the reason Daddy Trump used Donald is because he couldn't do the deal because he was under fucking investigation.
Right. He had shady deals, so he pawned him off on Don. Or he was under, like you said, under investigation that he couldn't do these deals, so he put Don's name on it.
Yeah.
Look at the Washington Post, look at the New York Times reporting.
Leadership. That's leadership.
Don't lamestream lie, media. Lie.
But so who's going to really run the country if Don's in charge? His dad's dead.
But we really, I don't know that we saw any pictures of Ivanka with dead animals out there. But it's obvious that both of the Trump boys are just diaper loads.
Oh, they're shitheads.
Human beings. Yeah. And those road apples fell right from the big orange asshole. And didn't go anywhere.
See,
their daddy.
But did you believe, we talked about this before, but Ivanka, I mean,
she seems like she's got a brain.
She seems like she's trying to make us think she's liberal.
Not an angel. She's a Republican nut job also, and right. has had shady dealings, I think, with her own company. I think there were, like, she professes about being into these family leave and everything, right. but then her company doesn't give it or something like that.
She's on the RNC co-opting all these Democratic things in her speech, and it's bullshit. I mean, she's almost more insidious than those kids because she seems like she's digestible, like a human. But she's not. She's lying.
But she seems to be the one who would be most upset by the tainting of the brand.
Oh, absolutely.
This sounds like this is exactly what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
That she's walking back her comments.
Things have happened through the course of this campaign that are uncomfortable for us as a family. Oftentimes, things have been said that are mischaracterizations or interpretations that are false and not consistent with his intent, a statement he'll make. Or we talk about it.
Misinterpretations or a statement he'll make.
Not, what did she say about her? It's something about her, his intent that misrepresents his intent.
Yeah, right. Nothing he says. It's all the lamestream media.
Yeah.
Misrepresenting her father's horrible bullshit.
So the lamestream media is saying exactly what he says, but yet
misrepresenting his the exact intent. Words. Well, right.
The subtext.
That's their standard. Well, that's not what he meant.
That's so fucking stupid.
And then they say the latest is he didn't mean that there's widespread voter fraud at the ballot box. He meant the media is biased against him. And Trump comes out 5 minutes later and says, it's at the ballot box. It's everywhere.
Oh, my God.
They're cheating. Rigged.
This is terrifying.
So, that we have a very open dialogue. And I think that's one of the things that I respect so much about him, the willingness to listen. And look, he's very much his own man, just like I am very much my own woman. I have opinions.
There we go.
Oh, yes. Distancing yourself.
Yep.
Opinions. My opinions are my own. I express them to him when I'm excited, when I'm disappointed, and everywhere in between. I'm certainly not sheepish about sharing those opinions, but I do so in private.
Well, we've talked a little about your role in this campaign. You'd spent a lot of time building a very successful retail brand whose sort of core theme was about female.
I guess she got her own brand. That's what the Ivanka brand.
So she's scarier than Trump. But do you hear how well-spoken she is and how measured and careful she is? She will fuck us up.
Well, that's the scarier part, kind of, about the whole Trump. This is why he needs to lose bigly. And then we need to keep whacking a mole. All of these, any little Trumplets that pop up.
Absolutely.
Because right now we have a buffoon fascist authoritarian racist.
Yeah, he's easy to point out.
Take
right?
away the buffoon part, and we might have a much scarier force to deal with.
You're right, man, because the thing about Trump was he seemed crazy. Like, he's always seemed crazy, and he wasn't embarrassed about his racism and his sexism. He was unapologetic, but these other guys, they can walk the walk and look more normal, but they're the same pieces of shit.
Right. Right.
Underneath it all.
Yeah, polished turds. So there you go. She goes on to say, I'm not a surrogate for the campaign. I'm a daughter.
Yes.
I stood in front of the RNC and shared that I'm an independent, which is very consistent with many other millennials. So she doesn't even claim to be a Republican.
But she's wrong. She's at the RNC speaking on behalf of her fucking dad that's running for president. If that's not a surrogate, I don't know what the fuck is.
I do dismiss this idea of a surrogate because I don't think it appreciates the role that I'm playing as my father's daughter. I'm not the campaign mastermind. So she's saying, look, I got to back
this shit.
She's tap dancing.
Yeah.
Look, I got to back my dad no matter what. You get it, don't you? Is
no.
what she's saying.
You know what's crazy? She's even though he's.
Well, but that's what she's saying. I'm not saying it's effective.
Right.
Or we don't see through her bullshit. But this is her trying to distance her brand and save the Trump name, at least the part she used.
Oh, I don't think the Republicans. I don't think Trumpalo see through her bullshit. I think it's very effective bullshit.
Well, she's not talking to them. They're not buying They're not buying $800 handbags or whatever fuck she's selling.
But don't you think her scary little voice could get through to some moderates?
Yeah,
if it weren't associated with her dad, because who knows now? Because he's so weird.
Well, that's why she would have been a better candidate than him.
God, how terrifying.
But less fascisty. I don't think she's probably as racist. I'm sure she is, but I'm sure she's not as racist as he is. I'm sure she wouldn't necessarily be for deporting 11 million people. She might be more moderate, but more of that libertarian deluded moderate.
Yeah.
I'm a fiscal Republican, fiscal conservative, but a social liberal. Oh,
yeah. Ignorant.
Just bullshit, which means I don't want to pay taxes.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Everybody should.
But stop and frisk. Where does she come out on that?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Right. We don't know. I would say she. I don't know. I wonder how much money she's got tied up in Russia, her company.
Probably. Who knows?
Right.
How much does daddy owe her? Oh, her company. And I'm sure she built her business from
absolutely
zero. I'm sure she started hand knitting things and
she bootstrapped selling them it all.
Selling them on the street corner. I'm sure dad's influence, connection, money, school, et cetera.
Right.
Prep school. None of that helped.
As soon as her dad gave her a trust fund, an education, a car, a mansion, all that shit.
Right.
She did it all on her own. And the name, by the way.
Right.
And branded a fucking name all on her own aside from that.
And the two sons equally. At least she sounds like she started something else. The two boys, I think, just work at Trump.
Right. Why not? Hey, and for vacation, they shoot like leopards.
Yeah.
Why do they hold the leopards up in the picture?
Because they have small, tiny penises.
I just don't get it. When I see them holding that dead animal up, I'm just like, please come back to life and eat that fucker.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
That's win one for animal kind.
Yes.
The toot of the angry horn outside.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit the other day about a former baseball. I was going to say legend, but
no, he's not a legend.
Curt Schilling.
He will not be in the Hall of Fame. He's not good enough.
Who was a decent pitcher, but now...
He was a really good pitcher.
...is a spectacular conservative ass pucker wrinkle.
Yeah, he was the guy with the bleeding fucking sock.
Right. Well, Curt Schilling now is... last week, we played the clip of him... inexplicably
creepy.
Defending Donald talking about a 10-year-old girl and saying, I'm going to be dating her in 10 years.
Gross.
Trying to defend that by saying to the woman who was interviewing him, come on, haven't you seen a young boy? And said, wow, that's a really good-looking boy.
Oh, yes.
And she said... No, I have not.
Right. You know, do you think it's shocking to all these pervs when they discover that everyone isn't a perv as well?
Right.
Oh, wow. How shocking.
Well, now it turns out Curt Schilling, former pitcher and failed video game businessman.
Oh, damn.
How do you do that in this economy? I mean, in the world of video games, you really...
What do you mean?
There's a lot of money to be made in video games if you know what you're doing.
Right.
Apparently...
He sucked.
He didn't know what he was doing. Now, according to many reports, Schilling has decided that in 2018, he will be running for senator against Massachusetts Senator... Elizabeth Warren.
Wait a second. She's going to rip him a new fucking asshole. Are you kidding me?
I've made my decision. I'm going to run.
Oh,
but I haven't
But
I haven't talked to Shonda, my wife. There's your first clip to use for your campaign. He decided he's going to run. He's going to make that major decision for the family. And he didn't even run it by the little... woman at
who
home
cares?
Who should be pregnant and barefoot.
Oh, my God.
Didn't run it by the wife.
And Kurt, your life is going to be drug out into the light. Everybody's going to make fun of you. They're going to go after everything.
He hasn't consulted.
You moron.
Yeah. ultimately, it's going to come down to how her and I feel this will affect our marriage and our kids. But he hasn't. He started out saying, I've made my decision.
God,
I'm going to run, but I haven't talked to my wife. It's going to come down to how her and I feel this will affect our marriage and our kids.
Talk about fucking up your brand. Before Kurt Schilling opened his mouth about politics, I always thought of him as this amazing pitcher, like kind of brilliant. You know, he did some amazing things in baseball. Well, now I think of him as a giant piece of shit.
He tweeted out recently something about, don't forget fake rape victim Lena Dunham. Oh, and Rosie O'Donnell. President Obama, Senator Warren, Sarah Silverman, awesome. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
He also tweeted out recently, remember, pay for play and private and public position on all issues. Took their money and will wait until Obama vetoes to come out.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Vote for Hillary with the thought that this was your son, brother, father, or grandfather. He was all of that for someone. And it is a...
God, it's going to be great when he runs against Elizabeth Warren. He's going to get shredded. Doesn't the Republican Party want to put up somebody formidable against her? They don't want to put up a joke?
Yeah, I can't imagine just playing tapes. All they got to do is play that tape of him saying, come on, haven't you seen a young boy? And thought, I can't wait to tap that in 10 years.
I mean,
that's what he was saying.
Fucking
basically.
Warren. Do you think she's going to be scared to take on a guy that used to throw a ball? That's who he is.
Fuck no. And Scott, what's his face?
Yes. Scott Brown.
I always forget. Yeah, Scott Brown didn't. I mean, he Pocahontas, basically. He was one step away from calling her Pocahontas because he was the one who went after her for the Native American thing.
Right. And that's all Kurt Schilling has. He's a weird little like fucking sexist pedophile freak. He's not a pedophile, but. God, what he said.
A pedophile apologist.
Yeah.
He was defending Trump, looking at a 10-year-old girl. And it's not, oh, what a beautiful little girl you have. Yeah. You're going to be a lovely young woman someday. It was, look, she's beautiful. I'm going to be dating her in 10 years. God. My DNA is going to be all over that. Ugh. In 10 years.
Schilling also said a bunch of anti-Muslim stuff, didn't he? In Twitter. He has some.
Yeah, he's had all kinds of heinous bullshit. He's got the picture is a picture, the horrible picture of the dead body of the ambassador, Ambassador Stevens. And it says, I'm more offended by photos of Ambassador Stevens' beaten and tortured body than I am anything Trump said 11 years ago.
How is that? Does that even make sense? That like comparing those two things, they don't make any sense.
And it's being proven that it's more than something he just said 11 years ago.
Right.
He's been groping, make grope fist, tiny fist. He's been grabbing women, kissing them, grabbing their hoo-has, grabbing their boobies.
Bragging about it.
Yep.
To a journalist, to Billy Bush, by the way, that he did an interview with. It's not like it was a close friend. He said, hey, you know, I like to grab people's pussies. He sounds a guy who's... Was Billy Bush even a fucking acquaintance of Trump? I mean, did he know him? Think about it. He barely knows this guy.
Right.
He's like, hey, grab her pussy. Very strange.
Kurt Schilling.
Ugh.
Here's a little bit of him sitting down with USA Today Sports.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a racist. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care any of those things. What I care about is how you treat fellow man.
From the mound to the political arena, it says.
I grew up in a conservative house. Not my mom was the only political one, but not overly political at all. 9/11 jacked up my interest to a passionate level. And after 9/11, I had family and friends who had been in Mogadishu and in the Middle East. I wanted to understand the people that were sending my family over there. I'm a registered independent. I voted for Bill Clinton once. I didn't know that he was the scumbag he was, but I've always tried to vote for the best person. It's been.
And now you've got your lips up trying
Donald Trump
to suck his prostate out of his butthole.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
And Reagan, it's been the Bushes, and I thought it was Senator McCain, but, you know, I've never voted for a party ever, and I never will. Being an elected official and being is far more about being a leader than it is about public policy. And I think I have.
He recently has taken on. He was fired after posting on Facebook a cartoon that mocked the idea of transgender people using women's bathroom.
Oh, God. What a tasteless asshole.
Which was only 8 months after he got in trouble for posting a comment on Twitter comparing Muslims to Nazis.
Oh, he's perfect. Listen, I get why he likes Trump. I understand.
Yeah, he's an angry white guy. Deluded, selfish.
Yeah.
A faux Christian who doesn't walk any of the Christian walk, except if you're another white Christian.
You know, making fun of this LGBT bathroom issue is really, it's fucking punching down, especially this guy. He's a rich athlete. He made lots of money because somehow he was able to throw a ball effectively. Not a lot of people can do that, I guess.
Right.
But why does he feel like he needs to take swings at the LGBT community? The transgender people, who everybody else are taking swings at these people. Why does he need to? Why does he need to add his hateful voice against them? It is disgusting.
I'm going to pin this to my Twitter for you liberals.
Fuck you.
It's a comedian.
And then we have political correctness, which is this joy that is the other side of health and safety, which is a small oppression of our physical movement, so we can't do anything without permission from the state. And political correctness is the oppression of our intellectual movement, so no one says anything anymore in case somebody else gets offended. What happens if you say that and someone gets offended? Well, they can be offended. What's wrong with being offended?
Who is this?
It's some comedian. I don't know who it is. Steve Hughes. I never heard of him before. But it's not about being offended. It's you're the one crying that your heinous view and bigotry of trying to keep transgender people out of bathrooms is being called out and mocked.
And he lost his job because of it, right?
But that's because of liberal offense. I just said that I don't think they should be in those bathrooms, and liberals got offended.
People got offended.
Well, I'm not offended. I mean,
outraged.
Say what you want. Yeah. So if you walk around saying, I believe that every firstborn son of every black person should be sacrificed to the Lord.
Right.
That's a heinous, disgusting, horrible thing to say.
Stupid.
How dare you be offended, you libtard?
He's mad.
It's just my opinion. Yeah. This is that they love to do that when you call them assholes or you call them bigots or whatever. Oh, that's real tolerant of you.
Right.
That's real tolerant.
I mean, it's
tolerant left.
Yeah, it's childlike. It really is. I get that a lot from some fuckers on Facebook. You're always playing the race card, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no shit.
You're supposed to tolerate your intolerance.
You're racist.
Yeah.
You're a xenophobe.
You're an asshole. You're just a big old plain asshole.
Right.
There you go, Kurt Schilling. If you guys are in Massachusetts in 2018, get out and vote against that asshole.
Yeah, and who cares? Who gives a fuck if he brought that stupid fucking team a World Series? Get over it.
Sounds like he lost all his money. Yeah. In that, a lot of it in that video game crash and burn. So,
and I'm a Cubs fan. So fuck you, Red Sox.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Fuck you, Red Sox, for the Schillings, for Kurt Schilling. Fuck you, man. God, this guy really pisses me off. This rich guy is being a bully.
I've got some sad news, I think, for a lot of Trumpansies and Trump fans. Not only the poll numbers, which,
yes,
Donald Trump yesterday, if you go to yesterday's show at crabdiving.com, don't forget crabdiving.com/Amazon if you buy anything, and it helps us out. I forgot what I was referring to yesterday's show already.
Oh, yes.
But there are some Trumpansies, I think that's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my new favorite
term. Idiots.
Are going to be upset about something that's happening in Vienna, Austria.
Oh, shit. Vienna, beautiful.
Beautiful city.
I love that city. Great coffee.
And really good food.
Oh, yes.
The great public transportation.
Wondrous.
And surprisingly, fewer English speakers than in Prague.
Oh, yeah.
That whole trip was a few different cities. And
they got the best fucking green space you could ever ask for.
I was worried about...
Best parks.
I was worried about Prague because that's... I mean, their letters don't look like ours. And,
well, their letters are
different alphabet.
They're fucked up.
And I thought that would be the street signs that was in Prague. It was just like, ooh, okay, I don't understand any of this. But everybody spoke English.
Oh, yes.
All of the shopkeepers, except when we went out of town, the city's.
Oh, sure. When we went out of the touristy area.
To go eat, yeah. But in Austria, even the downtown area, everybody spoke German,
right?
It seems, and French, and then
baby.
Yeah, I felt
go fuck yourself,
dumb American.
Why don't they speak English? Right, what's your problem? Learn another language.
I wasn't dismayed by the fact that they didn't speak English. I was just
yes
surprised that they didn't speak more English in Vienna than they did in Prague. Anyway, well, the house where one of the Trumpian favorites,
okay,
Adolf Hitler was born.
Oh,
is now going to be torn down and replaced with a new building.
Okay,
Austria's government announced that they have moved to eliminate the property's pull as a place of a pilgrimage for neo-Nazis.
What?
There's this little apartment building that's 100 and some years old.
Fucking God.
And
it's a pilgrimage?
Yeah.
Come on.
Most everybody supports the plan in the government. The passage was no more likely than a formality. The interior minister, Wolfgang Sobotka.
Nine! Wolfgang.
Wolfgang. Said, a thorough architectural remodeling is necessary to permanently prevent the recognition and the symbolism of the building.
Oh, wow. We're gonna rip it from the ground.
Ministry spokesman Karl-Heinz Grundbach said that Grundbach said that means that except for its foundations, nothing will be left of the house in the western town of Braunau. And that a new structure will be put up. They want to ensure that any association with Hitler is eliminated from the site, and says they could see it being repurposed for government or social agency offices.
But white supremacists go there as like a pilgrimage, mm-hmm, and neo-Nazis to sort of pay homage to Hitler.
The commission recommended against leaving the site empty, which could be interpreted as an attempt to deny Austrian history. They finally launched formal legal procedures to dispossess the home's owner.
Oh, shit.
After she repeatedly refused to sell the building or allow renovations that would reduce its symbolic impact as Hitler's birthplace. It sounds like whoever the owner was,
a big fan,
was kind of okay with the building being a little Hitler-y.
I mean, it's a conversations piece. You know, I live in Hitler's old house.
It drew admirers of the Führer, it says.
Okay.
Vienna's Jewish community and government-supported anti-Nazi research center has supported tearing it down, an imposing three-story yellow house where Hitler was born on April 20th, 420, 1889.
God damn it. I keep forgetting he was born on 420. I forget every year.
Some historians are saying that the house and the apartment inside where the Hitler family briefly lived should be preserved.
Yes.
Specifically because they are among the few surviving structures linked to Hitler. But they think there's no benefit to this. Because right now, you got skinheads and Nazis as a worship site.
Awesome.
There's a house, according to, this is NBC News, a house in nearby Leonding.
Oui, oui.
Leonding. Leonding.
Leonding.
Where Hitler lived as a teenager.
Okay.
They now use that house to store coffins for the town cemetery.
No, great. I mean, is that a good use? Is that good symbolism?
And the tombstones marking the graves of Hitler's parents.
Yes.
Were removed last year at a request of a descendant because it was a pilgrimage site.
Oh my
God. For neo-Nazis. They would go visit Hitler's parents' grave.
And even their relatives didn't want it.
A descendant was like, get this, let's get
please,
this out of here.
These creepy Nazis keep coming here. What can we do? Oh my God, could you imagine? It's so horrible. That's a horrible group of... Imagine that's your tourism base.
Right.
How scary. What do you sell them? Suntan lotion for their shaved head?
Hitler bobbleheads.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that. In your car.
Right.
So there you go. If you're planning a trip to
find somewhere else Hitler's to go, creeps
birth house, you better hurry the fuck up.
See, that's gonna be the shitty thing. They're gonna get a glut of assholes taking selfie sticks. God damn, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Save the Hitler apartment.
Imagine you live in that area. You're like, I don't know from Hitler. I don't like Hitler. I don't support him. I got neo Nazis everywhere.
Let's do this. We haven't heard the mellifluous tones of this gentleman.
Yes.
In a little bit of a sea hair.
Oh, is this Brian Fisher?
No.
Okay.
Responding to, there's a Clinton video that was put out.
Yes.
By friends of the campaign linking Donald Trump to InfoWars poobah Alex Jones.
Oh my God.
It was not a good thing.
No.
Alex Jones, of course, instant Woody when he heard that. Donald Trump linked to me. Oh yeah, awesome.
Did he rip his shirt off and go bare chested?
Probably. Here is a little bit of Alex Jones responding to the Clinton video that ties him to Trump.
95% of what we cover is on record. Like, they misrepresent 9/11 truth. They say, and I'm the founder of it, question it before 9/11, question on the day of 9/11. I said it's being used to take your freedoms by criminals of the government working with radical Islam, Saudi Arabia, to launch attacks on non-Wahhabi countries like Iraq and take it over. They carry out 9/11. Our media and our government blames the wrong country. We go in and take over Iraq. Their archenemy. Now, they turned that into the talking point from Popular Mechanics that I believe firefighters blew up the World Trade Center. They actually say that. Never said it. It was the firefighters that came out and exposed that there were bombs in the buildings.
They're worried.
Now, do
they're
we know worried. Exactly who did all this? No. All I'm telling you is the official story you're getting isn't true.
What firefighter exposed the bombs in the buildings?
I don't know.
I didn't get this memo.
No, it was Dennis Leary's character in Rescue Me.
I see.
And by the way, there isn't a special forces soldier. There isn't a demolitions person. There isn't a architect or engineer I talk to that doesn't concur with that. And I've interviewed the police, two different police officers.
You notice he put that caveat that I talk to.
Right.
He didn't say there isn't an engineer or a demolitions expert anywhere that says this could have happened. It's none of the ones that I talk to.
And then
none of the YouTube videos I watch. What about the YouTube videos of engineers and demolition experts debunking what your expert says? That's lamestream media. It's conspiracy.
Right.
They work for the Saudis. They work for Obama. They crawled right out of Hillary's vagina.
Engineer I talk to that doesn't concur with that. And I've interviewed the police, two different police officers on air, including a deputy fire chief. That's another person. Leon McAdoo did. It's got like 5 million views on YouTube. When they told them, there's a countdown, we're going to blow up Building 7. We heard the countdown. And it was coming from the Red Cross. Do you know who the Red Cross is, folks?
Oh, boy. Here we go. This, by the way,
right,
is Trump's America. This we used to hardly play Alex Jones clips before, because even for us, he was the batshittiest, right-wingiest craziest, darkest, deepest corner of the most fetid sewer on the internet.
Ooh, yummy. Yes. He's 4chan.
And because of Trump, he's now lamestreamed. He's mainstream.
Oh, absolutely.
To a lot of these angry Trumpalos. Now, all of a sudden,
they lowered the bar.
They love them some Alex Jones.
God, he interviewed all the police.
Two police. He talked to two of them.
You know who could go behind enemy lines even 500 years ago out of Switzerland?
Oh, boy.
The Red Cross. And I'm not bashing you if you were in the Red Cross. It has a lot of good things it does. But it is the main global intelligence agency front. So, you want to put this in your ad, Hillary? The Red Cross ran the countdown to blow up Building 7. No one would suspect the Red Cross, would they?
Wait, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
In February 2007, Dylan Avery received an anonymous email from someone named Mike claiming to have been a New Jersey EMT who was dispatched to the World Trade Center on 9/11 and who later in the day heard a countdown over his radio prior to the collapse of Building 7.
A countdown like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it explodes?
Alex Jones, Dylan Avery.
Yeah, now, right. We even have first responders saying they actually were present for the countdown for the destruction of Building 7.
An anonymous tip. Now, Alex Jones is saying he interviewed these people. It was quickly clear to everyone that the email was a hoax. No EMTs from Jersey were sent to the World Trade Center on 9/11. So yeah. This guy says, I'm an EMT from Jersey.
Right.
I was there. I heard the countdown. No EMTs from Jersey were there.
Listen, this show, this content we're putting out here right now, I'm going to get emails and I'm going to get texts about this from my brothers.
Fuck your feelings.
Oh, my God.
Mike's email address, by the way, is TopGun85. And if that's his birth date, that means that he was 15 on 9/11.
Okay.
Probably unlikely that he was an EMT at the age of 15.
He's a top gun, though. Top gun. Power bottom.
This Dylan guy offered Mike a chance to tell the story.
Yes.
In one of these 9/11 truther videos.
Right.
And he declined it, says, I just can't risk it. Dylan, the original receiver, yes. Dylan Avery,
the receiver,
has said that he now is convinced email was a hoax. He never heard from or talked about it again.
So wait, was there a countdown or was there not a countdown?
Months later, Kevin McPadden came forward with a nearly identical story, which the truthers then jumped on again.
And we started asking questions. Everybody started asking questions. And then next thing you know, there were the Red Cross representatives pacing back and forth in front of the crowd, holding his hand over the radio. And I couldn't hear what it was saying, but it was like it was pulsed. Whatever the speech was on there, it was pulsed. And
so I couldn't hear pulse? What they were saying.
Yes.
But it was pulsed like a countdown would be.
What does that mean, it was pulsed? They're communicating.
The words were 10. He had his hand over it and it was going,
okay. God, I don't know.
Obviously a countdown.
Okay, but it was pulsed, whatever that is. Very strange.
Just the sound, like a countdown.
Oh,
if it's
okay.
Muffled, it's going to sound.
The sound was, I get you, I understand.
But it was like, it was pulsed. Whatever the speech was on there was pulsed, and that means to me it was most likely a countdown. But
that
he took
means
his hand off.
To me it was most likely a countdown. So this is the eyewitness that they're claiming is the eyewitness to the Red Cross countdown.
This is the
I heard muffled pulsing sound on a radio from a Red Cross guy who was pacing nervously because obviously he knew he was waiting for Building 7 to come down.
Right.
Somehow the Red Cross knew
that
they were going to take the building down. But this is their credible witness.
I have a question for you, and I'm asking this On behalf of my middle brother.
There's a big banner behind this guy. Yes. It says 9/11 is an inside job. So this is not an objective show that we're playing.
Yeah. I'm asking this on behalf of my brother that lives in Alaska.
Physics.
Yes. No. Oh. How the fuck did Building 7 come down if it weren't for a controlled demolition? How does it just fall then?
Because it was next to the two massive burning buildings.
Right. But did it just blow it down? How would that happen?
It's the same thing that happened to Building 7 happened to the other ones. The fire weakened the structure and it came down.
This eyewitness that you're talking about, is this the same eyewitness everybody else talks about Building 7? The eyewitness?
Well, this is the eyewitness to the countdown I guess we'll get to the rest.
The last 3 seconds. And he gave this like heartfelt look, like he didn't want, just run for your life, because he didn't want to bring it on his conscience. You know,
he gave a heartfelt look like, hey, run for your life. So we've got,
what is that?
We've got Twin Towers, I believe, already came down.
Okay, yeah.
We've got a nervous looking Red Cross person who is covering his radio with his hand for some reason, pacing nervously. He hears
a pulse, a muffled pulse. I got
which is, to me, it's obviously a countdown, he says. Then he decides that the look that the guy gives him is one of, get out of here and save yourself. Doesn't say anything to him. He gives him a look, which I interpreted as, you better get out and save yourself, because the evil government's going to bring down number 7.
He didn't want, just run for your life, because he didn't want to bring it on his conscience. He didn't want to go to his grave with that.
Jesus Christ.
Listen to this idiot filming.
Oh, my God.
This guy just said, I interpreted the look he gave me as get out of here, run for your life, because he didn't want to live with that for the rest of his life. Listen to this
you're telling me
war and peace novel that this man has created in his head.
Look.
From a glance that he got from a nervous, scared 9/11 Red Cross worker.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to give you a heartfelt look. Tell me what you think it looks like to you.
In 1973, in July, you were a few months old, and you...
I took a shit in my diaper.
Listen to this narrative this guy puts in...
It's
in
bananas.
None of this... See, this is why we make fun of the truthers sometimes. This is their corroborating evidence. This man would be shredded by anybody, any lawyer with a brain cross-examining him would find out that he's a moron.
Okay, Jeffrey and Jason, the next time I see you on a holiday or whatever, I want to explain this heartfelt look to me.
Right.
A couple seconds to put our heads together.
Well,
his later versions. Now this is his story recorded at an earlier time.
Yes.
The Red Cross rep was like, he goes over and he says, well, you got to stay behind this line because they're thinking about bringing the building down.
This is the same guy.
Yes.
Later.
Right.
Telling the same story.
They're going to bring the building. No, it's insane.
Cross worker walked over to me and said, you better get out of here because they're bringing the building down. That's a little bit different from I interpreted a look he gave me as, I'm going to be guilty the rest of my life if I don't tell you to get out of here.
So why would he change his story? He's lying or he doesn't remember.
Because people are making 9/11 videos about him.
Yeah.
He's going around the country as the witness.
God.
To the countdown.
It's a heartfelt look.
They didn't say what building. They just said bringing a building down. He came back over with his hand over the radio and what sounded like a countdown.
Well, that's the same.
And at the last few seconds, he took his hand off.
Oh,
and you heard,
well, that's...
Wait. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, well, that's a new detail.
I thought it was muffled.
Interesting. I know that it sounds like that was a countdown to me. And now... Later, his story is he handed over the mic, but then he took it off at the end, and I heard 3, 2, 1. He's a lying,
but wait,
moron.
What about his story evolving?
Oh, right.
It evolved.
I'm all for evolution.
And he was just saying, just run for your life. Just run for your life. And then.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't mean for this to be a 9/11 truther debunk, but right. Alex Jones went there crowing about the fact that he was right. And these are the kind of, this is the kind of evidence Alex Jones has, is this guy whose story has changed. Who knows what the fuck he says now? Now he probably, I ran in and saved 7 puppies that were born right before they blew it up. And I heard them chanting, kill the building, kill the building.
Well, it would be interesting.
Good God.
It would be interesting to see, like, you know, people that are into these conspiracy theories and they, you know, these stories that are told about different things, like how these stories evolved. I mean, if you sort of want to, if you're the kind of person that believes in lots of conspiracy theories, I wonder what kind of tolerance you have for this sort of thing. Like, are you more open to someone's story, quote unquote, changing, evolving? Because this guy,
well, how do you?
He lied.
This, then?
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know.
So, when I say Red Cross, I mean intelligence operatives there with the countdown, and then I have the news saying.
So this is Alex's. Star witnesses
so
to the countdown.
Right.
So now he's indicted, not the Red Cross, but international operatives pretending to be the Red Cross.
So they're spies. The Red Cross, it's a spy organization.
When I say Red Cross, I mean intelligence operatives there with the countdown. And then I have the news saying Building 7 has fallen. Building 7 has fallen. An hour before it fell, CNN and Aaron Brown's running around and it hadn't fallen. Fell in its own footprint symmetrically from fires. And then 25 minutes later, BBC World, BBC.
This has been debunked too.
Good God.
Their claim was that the story got out accidentally before they had actually blown up the building.
Oh, okay.
BBC announced Building 7, the Solomon Brothers building has fallen. And Jane Graham turns around, has it fallen? And later they admitted they were given that feed from Reuters that it had fallen. They had jumped the gun. That was the CIA base. Do you know the CIA's main East Coast base outside of Arlington, Virginia? Do you know where it's based? Building 7. They had at least 10 floors of it. Look it up. Look it up. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I can go on for 10 hours. I've made 6 films on the subject. I've written a book on the subject.
Oh,
it needs to be exposed.
There we go. Gee, why did you do that? Just to help people.
God, that book. That book, he wrote a book.
And movies. I made 9 movies about it. I made, in other words, you've made a career out of
9/11.
A controversy and spreading the controversy and spreading stories like this asshole who said it was all muffled and it sounded to me like it had to be a countdown. And then later says, well, he took his hand off and then I heard 3, 2, 1.
God damn it. Did he say he's been on the air for 10 hours? He just said that. I've been on
the
air.
10 hours of video, I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think he means he worked.
Jesus Christ.
He's put out 10 hours of hard-hitting journalism, like the guy we just played.
Oh, yeah.
Investigate. Just like our government's funding radical Islam today, it's the very same program. Radical Islam is real. It's being brought in to attack us. We need to deal with it. Our borders are wide open. That's the false flag. The jihadis are real. The false flag's bringing them in. Now,
let me get this straight.
Any of the terrorist stuff done here, except for 9/11, has all been homegrown. Am I wrong?
No, but the jihadis are real, and the false flag is bringing them in.
Oh, that's right.
Before I go any further, we've been vindicated by all the 20-something pages coming out in Congress, the 28 pages, and the fact that Saudi Arabia was there, and there was an order to stand down and not investigate them. And the FBI agents at the time went public. They were ordered to stand down in Texas and in Arizona.
Well, that part may be true. There may have been shenaniganry because Bin Laden's family was flown out, right? By the even though we had
that is fucked up.
No fly over the whole country. Somehow, Bin Laden's family was able to get a plane.
Yeah, why
out,
is that?
Allegedly, now shit like that. You know, this is where the more conspiracy theory minded,
right,
get their affirmation. Is stuff parts are true. Like I think there was a cover up of the Saudi involvement in it because of George Bush and the Republicans being in bed with the Saudis and right. not giving a shit about their human rights violations, et cetera, which is ironic now that the morons are screaming about Hillary taking campaign donations from a country that wants to kill homosexuals. How could she do that? She hates homosexuals.
God.
The Republicans are so much better. How can they say you need to vote for the Republican candidate because we're better with the gays?
It's nuts. It's bananas. It's laughable.
And in Florida and in Minnesota and in Oklahoma, I interviewed some of them. I interviewed the translators, like Sybil Edmonds, who heard it all, the chatter going on. They were ordered to stand down, and the hijackers were able to carry out their attack. Now, once they got on board, the only real airphone calls that came from stewardesses was there was gas. They were gassed on the planes. I don't know what happened, but I know.
Don't. Wait a second.
No, who was gassed
on the planes?
I think he thinks the people on the planes were gassed before the planes went down or something.
They were put to sleep. God, I hope so.
Well, that's because the government did it. So I guess they wanted humanely put them to death.
How horrible.
The official story's a lie. Now, they're going to misrepresent and say, oh, my God, Trump supports this 9/11 truther. Trump is ready for that. Trump knows about 9/11. He brought up Jeb Bush. He brought up they were running security in the World Trade Center.
What about Jeb Bush?
So Alex is saying that Trump is on board with the 9/11 truth. What a shock.
Big shocker.
What a shock.
I have never heard Jeb Bush associated with the 9/11 thing. Is he? He said investigating building security or some shit like that.
I guess.
Good Lord. Jeb, with the exclamation point, had something to do with 9/11? Who knew?
Trump knows about 9/11. He brought up Jeb Bush. He brought up they were running security in the World Trade Center. He brought up the Saudi connection.
Good God.
Something
brought up the Saudi connection. He brought up the Carlyle Group meeting with Bush Sr. In D.C. the morning of 9/11 at the same table with them at the Carlyle weapons quarterly meeting.
So Rich White connected.
Okay.
Sat on a million boards. Daddy.
Yes.
Happened to meet with somebody who was involved with somebody that was involved with the security over at the World Trade Center. So obviously they were involved in closing their eyes as they placed the charges all over the building.
Okay. Okay. I feel like we're so far down this 9/11 hole, man.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, Alex Jones land, man.
Why did we bring it up?
Because of Alex Jones.
He said something about it in the news, right?
This is today.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because he is responding to the video of a Hillary PAC or something. Saying, look, Donald Trump is an Alex Jonesian 9/11 truther, dude.
I got it. Okay.
And that's when you notice Jeb dropped out real fast.
So he's proudly... Now he's saying that Jeb dropped out because...
It makes sense.
He called him out on 9/11.
Jeb dropped out because he didn't want his part in the conspiracy to bring down the towers revealed and brought out into the public. He didn't want to be exposed as a conspirator.
Apparently.
That's why his campaign sucked.
And that meeting with Bush Sr.
And that's why he pretended to be such a bore, right?
Oh, you think it was an act? You think he's really a cut-up? And
I do. I think he muted his personality. He tanked on the debates to cover up his part in fucking 9/11.
Please clap.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the last few seconds of this.
In D.C., the morning of 9/11, at the same table with them at the Carlyle weapons.
So this is him saying, who cares if your videos are attaching me to Trump as something bad? Actually, I was right, and Trump's on board.
It's validation.
Trump's on board with the 9/11. He's ready. Did you hear him? He's ready.
Yeah.
He's ready for this. He knows about 9/11.
Trump is validating this guy.
Right?
That's the fucking point.
For that, Trump knows about 9/11. He brought up Jeb Bush. He brought up they were running security in the World Trade Center. He brought up the Saudi connection. He brought up the Carlyle Group meeting with Bush Sr. In D.C. the morning of 9/11 at the same table with them at the Carlyle weapons.
I mean, this is his bread and butter. He's like a preacher spouting bullshit against 69. You know,
right.
I mean, just able to quote any Bible verse. He knows every bullet point of 9/11 craziness. obviously wrote. He's spitting this stuff out. As a Carlisle group, he met with them at 3 in the morning, and they did this, and then they did this, and then they did this, and that's why Hillary's full of shit.
About 9/11, he brought up Jeb Bush. He brought up they were running security in the World Trade Center. He brought up the Saudi connection. He brought up the Carlisle group meeting with Bush Sr. In D.C. the morning of 9/11 at the same table with them at the Carlisle weapons quarterly meeting. And that's when you notice Jeb dropped out real fast. So you want to throw Trump in the briar patch, go ahead. That's exactly where he wants to go. You people are walking into our trap again. Thank you. Great job.
If you want to throw him into the briar patch, it's exactly where he wants to be. You're falling into our trap.
So wait a second. I'm trying to understand Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
The briar patch thing. He wants to throw you into the briar patch. That's a reference to an Uncle Remus thing.
Yeah. And
the tar baby
but,
and Uncle
but
Remus.
But him being, I think that's just a bonus. I don't think he goes that far back with literature.
You don't think this is Uncle Remus? There's no Uncle Remus connection.
I don't think Alex Jones is going there, but I think he means it as the Clinton campaign is throwing Trump into what is a briar patch of crazy conspiracy loons. They think they're hurting him by throwing him in there.
Oh yeah.
Alex Jones is saying, you're falling into our trap. He wants to be here with us. He wants to be in the briar patch.
Because when the rabbit was thrown into the briar patch, he escaped, because rabbits can naturally navigate their way through a briar patch. I mean, maybe he is making the, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. You people are walking into our trap again. Thank you.
Oh, jeez.
He just applauds and says, great job. Thank you.
And the envelope, please. Jesus.
You're walking into our trap of bullshit.
How fucking crazy.
You know, Alex Jones is going to be on the Trump channel, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he's got his own show.
Well, the reality is, I think a lot of these right-wing nut jobs are going to be on the Trump channel because they need content.
But then he's going to screw them and they're going to hate him.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to be all about, he's going to be working with people like Alex Jones, egos like Alex Jones. Right now, he gets to suck Trump's balls.
Oh, yes.
Trump's going to lose and be nobody. Alex Jones could probably make more money doing his own bullshit. Why would he go slum himself over at Trump News?
That's true.
And then anybody that does business with him is going to learn, or has learned, that he's just out to fuck you and get what he can out of you. He's going to let anybody else be the star over at Trump Channel?
Fuck that, man.
How come we have to put, it's going to be like North Korea. How can we put anything, I don't want any programming on. What if Sarah Palin gets a show and has more ratings than me?
But God, you know, that just goes to show they're not going to have anything but shit on that network.
It's going to be 24/7.
It's going to be horrible. It's not going to be watchable.
Melania.
Yeah, she's going to have a show. To do what?
I'm going to do a show in Slovenian.
I mean, do you really think he has the energy to put together a network? I guess if he pays people to do it for him.
Kelly, the voice, ringing in on Twitter. By the way, tweet us, ladies and gentlemen, at Crab Diving. Was listening to yesterday's show. We talked about Donald Trump's Hindu outreach. Remember where he said, "I love the Hindu."
Oh yes,
I love the Hindu.
I love them all. I love the Hindu.
Kelly responds, listening to yesterday's show. My sister-in-law is Hindu. To Trump's Hindu pander, she responded, "This Hindu is not impressed." I have a feeling that's pretty.
That's funny.
Universal, except for those five people that inexplicably run Hindus for Trump. Ooh. That was what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hindus, thank you, Kelly.
Hindus for Trump. Thanks,
that's
Kelly.
That's insane.
Tweet us during the show. Tweet Kelly. So there you go. Alex Jones defending his the Clinton Foundation trying to smear Trump by tying him to Alex Jones.
You're right. He really whips out that 9/11 shit. Man.
Oh, yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Bam.
He knows his points.
Right.
How does he answer the guy changing his story?
I don't know.
He didn't change his story. He said the same thing. He said it was muffled.
Right. Well, I think he says it evolved, and I think he would say
he remembered more.
The details.
For sure.
See, the crazy thing is he'd say, oh, you're just picking out these little details that don't match up. Well, that's what Alex Jones is doing with these conspiracy theories. They pick out weird little details.
Right. Counting down the hours, ladies and gentlemen. We only got a few minutes left here on the big show this Wednesday. Tomorrow, definitely, we will be recapping.
Oh, yes.
The debate. We won't be live streaming. We might be tweeting during it, but won't be live streaming or anything. Technically, it's a pain in the dick. We have a little bit of a delay.
That's right.
And then also, I've seen two or three different versions of people, Mystery Science, the Theater 3000-ing, you know.
The debate.
Playing the debate and talking at the same time.
It sucks.
And I've been universally annoyed by it because they talk over parts that you want to then hear. And then somebody else in the room is like, what did they say? Oh, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think it's better.
I fucking hate it.
I think it's kind of better going back and playing the highlights and lowlights, because then we can make fun of shit and not miss anything. So the stuff I've seen for that is just kind of annoyed me. I'm like, shut up. I want to hear what Trump just said. What you know, that kind of thing. Anybody else? Maybe.
I mean, you want to hear
VP
the debate.
Fine.
Yeah.
Boring. But yeah, I don't want to miss anything Trump says.
Right. I mean, I'm tuning in to see Trump. I'm not.
Right.
Know.
And then, you know, people feel compelled to be jokey. And that's
the worst.
Yeah, that's the guy. That we would do that too. Yeah. Try to entertain. So
most people aren't funny.
So we'll be recapping tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 out on the East Cape Coast, our normal time here on Crab Diving Thursday.
I got a show at Hooters during the debate.
Yeah, after.
Was it after? Yeah. Okay.
Do you have a later show?
It's 8:30.
Yeah, it's the debate's in a couple hours here.
Oh, fuck.
We're out on the Western Cape Coast, so it starts at like 6 or 7 here.
Oh, cool.
Anti-Defamation League is, I put the story, I think, up on our Facebook, too, is reporting that not only is just the general anti-media atmosphere and threats rising against the media, but thanks to Trumpy bullshittery, anti-Semitic attacks are on the rise from Trump supporters.
Oh, God. How great.
A new report from the Anti-Defamation League has found a, quote, significant uptick in anti-Semitic attacks on Twitter against Jewish journalists coming from supporters of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Is Trump taking any responsibility for this?
Of course not.
Why not? Why would he?
The report notes that some of the targets of the attacks pointed to Trump's campaign having inspired and emboldened white nationalists and others to engage in acts of digital aggression.
Digital aggression.
How's that? Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Trump's campaign has received staunch support from white nationalists who love his stances on immigration, his anti-Muslim rhetoric, his anti-Latino rhetoric.
Great.
I'm reading from Media Matters. They praised what appeared to be an anti-Semitic tweet from Trump in July October speech from Trump that appeared to push anti-Semitic dog whistles, like the global banking elite.
Globalist.
Yeah.
Right. Globalism. Veiled. Jeez.
The New York Times says that the Anti-Defamation League found over 19,000 anti-Semitic messages on Twitter directed at journalists.
God.
Between August 2015 and this last July, going after more than 800 journalists. The uptick started early in the year when the presidential campaign began to intensify.
Why are they so hateful, these Trumpalos? Why do they hate so much? Don't they want anything?
White America.
Yeah, I don't get it.
They want Hitler's house to stand. God damn it.
We want it to be like the fucking 50s.
Listen to what the Democrats are doing over in Austria.
Right.
The libtards in Austria are tearing down Hitler's perfectly good house.
Right.
According to the report.
Yeah.
They talked about a reporter who's been getting a lot of hate. I think on our Facebook page is one of the pictures that was tweeted to her. It's her picture from the New York Times or whatever, whoever she worked for, you know, her regular headshot or whatever.
God, I fucking saw this, dude.
Yeah, and they photoshopped it. They put a yellow Juden star
perfect
on her dress and a bloody bullet hole in the middle of her forehead.
Great job, idiots.
They say that her story is a familiar one. Hundreds of Jewish journalists have been the target of anti-Semitic attacks.
How terrifying, dude.
The words appearing most frequently in the Twitter biographies of the attackers.
Yes.
Are Trump, nationalist,
okay,
conservative, and white.
Wow. What a word cloud. Lovely.
Many of these owners of these accounts are anonymous, of course. Oh, most. Yeah.
They're embarrassed.
If not all.
They're scared.
But there are two prominent white supremacists, Andrew Anglin, who is the founder of the website Daily Stormer, and Lee Rogers of the InfoStormer, both of which we read excerpts the other day praising Donald Trump's speech last week about the global bankers. Yeah.
They loved it! Big fans.
The report is careful not to suggest that the Trump campaign supported or endorsed these views, but some of the targets said that by evoking hostility towards minorities, Trump's campaign has inspired and emboldened these white nationalists and others to engage in acts of digital aggression.
Great.
Like we said earlier.
Perfect.
Whatever his intentions, his candidacy has been treated as a call to arms by white nationalists.
God damn.
MediaMatters.org. So I'm sure a bunch of them will be watching tonight.
God, a call to arms by white nationalists. That is so fucked.
Scary as fuck. We'll see what happens tonight. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful.
That's
right. It's
going
to be a train wreck.
It will hurt.
But we're going to have to watch the hell out of it. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 on the Eastern Time Coast. iTunes, Stitcher, leave us a good review, please. crabdiving.com. Don't forget crabdiving.com/Amazon. Whatever you buy, we get a little nibble, a little taste. Doesn't cost you anything. Just helps us out here. Ryan's going to be doing some comedy somewhere soon. Find out where. Tonight at Hooters in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Find out the deets. Go to his Twitter feed at RatedRComedy. His Instagram, RatedRComedy.com. Go to his website for his schedule at RatedRComedy.com.
I fucked my lineup. Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter or Instagram at Vile Experience.
I think I said RatedRComedy.com.
Did you?
I fucked up, yeah. We're back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Strap in for the debate.
Strap it on.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram at crabdiving.